Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks for being with us on the program today. My guest is Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. We'd love to have your questions for him in our next half an hour. Call those in to area code 765-496-1999. You can email questions at any time to ask@wbaa.org, and we can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Mr. Mayor, good afternoon. Good to talk to you as always.
Hey, Stan, it's a pleasure, and now that my Butler Bulldogs are out, our season ended last night, I will say boiler up, rooting for Purdue this March, and I hope you guys can pull off the win tonight.
A rough NIT for your Butler Bulldogs.
It was just time for the season to conclude, and the great thing is this fall we get to start anew, so go Boilers, boiler up.
Well, I'm going to start actually with a comment, not necessarily a question today, that we got from Phil, who's a regular Ask the Mayor listener and occasional question asker, who says the following. He says, I have a quick shout out to Frankfort and Mayor McBarnes. He says, I live in West Lafayette, and while it is off the beaten path for us, we decided to take a ride down to Frankfort and see what's there to see. We wound up grabbing a bite at Johnny V's. All was good. People were friendly. We enjoyed ourselves. We wouldn't have made the trip if it wasn't for Ask the Mayor and Mayor McBarnes' description of Frankfort and what it has to offer. So thanks, Phil, for your listenership, and that's got to be gratifying for you to hear that that people are paying attention, even who are not necessarily residents of your city, I would think.
That's so cool. Thank you, Phil. You and your family are always welcome here, and it just goes back to WBAA as well. I mean, you guys are great community partners. What you did up at our library, helping promote our community and just giving us the opportunity to get on air every month. I mean, I know it's a lot of work for you guys, but we appreciate that, Stan, so thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about that community forum and the survey that we did with folks in Frankfort and Clinton County. I wanted to ask just generally to speak at the beginning, what sort of feedback, if any, have you gotten from folks who took the survey or attended that forum and were part of the conversation? And again, a big thank you from all of us here at WBAA to everybody who spent time on the forum or the survey or both. A huge help in terms of generating some data. But I'm curious what you've heard.
Sure. Only positive feedback from that community conversation. I think it gave us the opportunity to come together as citizens, elected officials, appointed officials, and talk about what we want our community to be and the amenities that we would like to see here. And definitely helps me as mayor, because now that I know, especially specific types of amenities through food or drink or entertainment, if we have something bite, I know that I can be a little more aggressive in those areas because our community is really calling for that. But, you know, it was a robust discussion as well. I really liked the fact at the end of the night we kind of talked about Frankfort's themes, what we could become, how we want to brand ourselves. That's always a real tricky one for me, to be honest with you, but it was good to hear feedback from the community. And I wouldn't say that I was surprised, but it was kind of neat to hear so many people that night talk about our Christmas light display in the TPA Park. That was one resonating item that kind of kept coming up again and again. It is a big deal. It's a draw for us regionally, and you know, maybe we need to think outside the box and figure out how to incorporate that maybe in a little more year-round fashion. Who knows? So I found that interesting, but a lot of good takeaways, and definitely helps me now mold further the strategic economic development plans we have for this city.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought all of that up, because one of the more interesting things that I thought that Emily Seiberg, our reporter, learned when she was doing the story and preparing for the forum is that there are urban planners who say that there are cities out there who should focus on a single thing. You become the mecca for a given item or service, or you become known for a tradition of some sort. And you're absolutely right that a number of people mentioned the TPA Park Christmas light show. Do you think there, though, is a year-round sort of niche which can help get Frankfort on more people's map?
You know, I think there is. I think it's out there. I know one thing, and we kind of took this away from our conversation that night as well, talking about downtown and especially the interaction that can be created through public art. Our Frankfort Future Leaders Advisory Council, right now, they are developing an interactive mural, and it looks as though we're going to partner with the Farmers Bank on that and incorporate that into our downtown. We have an interactive mural between Nickel Plate Flats and ACCS in Nickel Alley. And as you look across the country, certain cities, I mean, when you look at Nashville and you Google Nashville interactive murals, you'll see these big angel wings, and people stand in front of these angel wings and get pictures. So that's something that we're going to try to do more in our downtown, bring more public art, bring more culture. I mean, obviously, you guys were at the library that night. Our library is absolutely fantastic, and I think we can kind of drive off the fine arts and the culture that's created by our public library and wrap that around our downtown. And then I'm going to continue to work with our park superintendent, Travis Sheets. I mean, our Christmas light display, Travis was the one who brought the Christmas light display to Frankfort underneath then-Mayor Harold Woodruff back in the 90s. They're making that bigger and better every year, but you know, who knows what we can do with that? We fundraised close to $55,000, just people coming through the park last year. We did more ads in Indianapolis media, especially on the TV, and we might actually branch out a little further this year. So, yes, I think there are some opportunities, Stan, and I think we need that hook to really make Frankfort all it can become.
During the course of the community conversation, whether it's the survey or whether the discussion we had, there seemed to be a general consensus and indeed a concern that people were not engaging enough with what's already in the city, that they weren't trying to find local ways to spend their money in Frankfort before heading off to Lafayette or wherever else. But, you know, like a lot of things in local government, this strikes me as a possible chicken and egg problem, because in order for people to engage more, there might have to first be more for them to engage with, right?
Sure. It's a tough one, no doubt about it, and you say that eloquently. But again, you know, I'm going to stress to people, you've got to go out of your way to shop local. You know, are you going to be paying maybe $5 or $7 more here at a local hardware store than going over to Menards? Yeah, you probably will. But you know what? The service is great, and if we want these things in our community, we've got to go out of our way to shop local. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but you know, we had a wonderful boutique ice cream shop in our downtown. And, you know, I know people talk all the time, we wish we had more places to go and set and have desserts. And that was the perfect situation there. But in order to have these things grow and thrive and then subsequently for more businesses to come here, we got to put our money where our mouth is and we've got to shop local. So it's just something we all need to be conscious of. I know our city is. When our department heads bring us bids, I'll be honest with you. Yeah, going down to McCollum's, I know the service is going to be amazing. Could we get things a little bit cheaper at a Best Buy? Yeah, we could, but we choose to keep our tax dollars and spend them local whenever possible. And we all have a part to play, every single person that calls Frankfort home in regards to that.
You and other mayors have told me over the years that you can't just call up leaders of corporations, ask them to invest in your communities. Allow me to politely push back a little bit on that. And I'm doing so as a journalist. And part of my job, and one of the things that constantly has amazed me over 15 years of doing this, is just who I can get on the phone as a local journalist whose name they've never heard. I got to imagine being the mayor of a city carries at least as much weight as someone in my position has. So can you take those survey results and start trying to get influential people from a Buffalo Wild Wings or a Steak and Shake, which are a couple of the local amenities people said they specifically wanted, on the phone? Can you try to just start those conversations and say, look, hey, I've got some data now that backs me up that says people in my community want to engage with your brand. Maybe you didn't think of us before, but look, here I can give this to you and say, you, Mr. Steak and Shake, maybe you want to come to Frankfort.
You bet I can, Stan. And I think anybody that says that we can't do that as mayors, I don't necessarily agree with that. I agree with the point, you know, where you're coming from. Now, talking about who carries more weight here, I've never been on Jeopardy, all right? You've been on Jeopardy, so obviously you're a very smart man. But yes, we can reach out. We can recruit. You know, I'll tell you, I'll just give you an example. Nickel Plate Flats, when we were trying to get urban housing in the downtown, to get a bank, to get a financing organization to take a chance on a market that was shaky, that we kind of thought people would move downtown, but we didn't really know, that took a lot of work. I mean, I met with bank presidents, CFOs. We took them around the community, and we finally got someone to give this private corporation, Ironman Properties, a loan for $7.5 million, and now it's paying off in spades. We've done the same thing with General Motors. We have a local car dealership owner that's trying to get General Motors to give Frankfort the green light so we can get a new car dealership again. We take the time to court those individuals, show them around Frankfort. Our Chamber of Commerce had a high-ranking individual from GE come over last week. They're looking for a place to live. You know, we try to sell Frankfort anytime we can. I rattled off some letters to all the major movie theater owners here a couple months ago, and I'm getting ready to follow up on all that. So, yeah, we'll continue to recruit hard on that. But here's what I'll say as well. I mean, and I know you and I have talked about this before, but for a city like Frankfurt to get some of these amenities, we've got to grow our population strategically and responsibly, and we've got to continue to build and grow good jobs here. Without those two things, you're never going to get an AMC. You're never going to get a Goodrich. You're never going to get a General Motors. So while we can do that in the meantime, and you're absolutely right, we should, man, we've got to continue to build a workforce and create jobs, good paying jobs. We got to focus on our housing. We've got to invest in things like amenities like Nickel Plate Flats or Prairie Creek Park or the TPA swimming pool, because we've got to attract people. We've got to attract families. And if we can do that, we can get some of these businesses. But here's what I'll say too. You know, the big box stores, like, I have all the respect in the world for Steak and Shake and Buffalo Wild Wings, and people want these things. But I also have a concern. You start bringing things like that in, what happens to Main Street, Johnny V's on the west side of the square? What happens to Milky Way? What happens to some of these locally owned mom and pop businesses? But I understand people want diversity. They want different places to eat, and we will strive to do that. But again, we got to support the mom-and-pop shops. That's what makes rural Indiana so cool. I've hated to see those things go away over a period of time. So we have to make sure to keep them strong while we're doing this.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're talking today with Frankfurt Mayor Chris McBarnes. Call in your questions at 765-496-1999. Send an email to ask@wbaa.org. You mentioned a moment ago the TPA Park swimming pool. You're in the midst of trying to plan for a renovation there. There are some architectural drawings flittering about. What's all that going to cost? When might it get done?
Sure. So this was another long community process. You know, it was kind of interesting when our park superintendent, Travis Sheets, shared the history of swimming and the pools that we've had in Frankfurt. But each pool has lasted about 30 years that we've had in Frankfurt. And the pool that we have now is right at being 30 years old. So we need a renovation. And when we went out and we had a citizen-driven board that worked with engineers, I wasn't even a part of that. We wanted to let citizens drive that, citizens that used the pool, that had families. We had someone that was retired on that citizen panel. Then we moved to a full community meeting. We did a survey. We got, I think, over 700 results back from that survey. And what we found was people really wanted amenities like a lazy river, better slides. They still wanted a diving well. Some wanted a longer pool where we could have swim meets. So what we did was we took those survey results and what our citizen-driven committee put together, and our engineers wove that into proposals, and they brought that back to the community. We had that discussion, and then from there we pivoted and went to the city council this past week, and that was presented. The plan that was presented by HWC Engineering with all of these different amenities that our community has called for in that survey and through the citizen-driven panel was right at about $9.9 million. So our council had a good, robust discussion on that. You know, in the past 7 years, I've been very proud that we have not had to go outside of our existing levy and levy an additional property tax like other communities do to move a major project. And I believe it's our finance committee's desire to work within the revenues that we have now to tighten the belt where we can, to utilize TIF funding along with some edit funding, so staying outside of property taxes altogether to fund this over a period of time. What I took from the council is that they want to make this a priority. So I could see the design potentially starting this summer. It's got to have council support. I don't get a vote on this, but it's got to have council support. I do think we can afford it. And just some quick statistics for the community, because I think they need to know. You know, our ending cash balance 2011 was $5.2 million. Our ending cash balance at the end of this past year was $5.8 million. And we've grown our city's rainy day fund by about 25%. So we are in a good cash position. We're growing cash reserves and rainy day, but we do need to invest in some of these amenities if we ever want to grow our community and get a Buffalo Wild Wings, get a Steak and Shake, a new car dealership. You know, all these things go hand in hand, Stan.
And so when might the pool be done?
So we're definitely going to be closed this year and probably next year as well, because What we learned was by taking our time and doing this the right way and not giving a contractor a very short timetable to turn this around, it's going to save us money. And we want to do this in the most economical way possible. So we could have an opening later next fall, but this year and next year, our pool will be shut down.
Talking about amenities, you had some city officials from the town of Newcastle come visit you recently. You mentioned on last month's program that this visit was going to happen. You told them about what you're working on. Do you have to couch your statements a little bit? Because your city, in terms of population, as you've pointed out, has been stagnant for quite a while. You're trying hard to grow that as well as add amenities at the same time. So you're in the midst of this interesting time where you're trying to add new things. You're trying to recruit new professionals. Is it too soon to say what impact all of that is going to have? And do you have to be a little bit careful if someone like those folks from Newcastle come to you and say, hey, what are you doing and what do you think this is going to mean for Frankfurt going forward?
Well, it's neat because now it's no longer theory. Now we can actually take them to success stories. We can take them inside of Nickel Plate Flats and tell them this is 95% occupied. We can take them into the brand new Frankie's Coffee House and the Nickel Plate Lofts, which are absolutely gorgeous. We can take them in Ivy Tech. We can show them the dirt being moved at Prairie Creek Park. And what I would tell you is yes, we are seeing dramatic results, and I believe we will see our population start to grow. And what I'll point to is the Frito-Lay investment. Again, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but that was the eighth largest micropolitan investment, and micropolitan is based on communities of 50,000 people or less in the entire United States last year. The entire United States. Frankfurt was ranked the tied 62nd top micropolitan communities in Indiana by Site Selector magazine. I can firmly say I don't believe that Frito-Lay would have consolidated that $160 million investment that was going to be parceled up all over this country if they didn't see a community that was on the move, that was investing in amenities, that was attracting a workforce in, that had a place like Ivy Tech to train that workforce. And it's great because at the end of the day, we all want a lower cost of living for our citizens. And when we get investments like that, it raises our assessed value, which drives down tax rates. We can point to Donaldson, $35 million expansion, 75 new jobs. So it is paying off. And with the new housing opportunities we have in our downtown, the next census that comes along, we are going to see an increase in population because we provided more housing, and it's filling up. It's filling up quickly. So we can point to those things. And communities like Newcastle, they're coming to us. We're not going to them. We're not putting on Facebook, hey, anybody that wants to come up to Frankfurt, come up and we'll give you a tour. I mean, these people are seeing what we're doing and they're saying, hey, we want to be like you. And that's pretty flattering. I'm not saying this is a cookie cutter approach. Every community is a little bit different. But when you have a city like Newcastle and their mayor comes, their Lido comes, their Main Street leader comes, and they say, how are you guys doing this? We want to do it. I mean, that's pretty flattering for our city team, but we got to stay humble and we can't become complacent in this. We got to keep working hard.
Got a call from a listener who wants to know about parking in downtown as you continue to try to increase what's there and increase your population. They want to know how you get around what they think is a historical problem of perhaps not having quite enough parking, especially I would imagine that Courthouse Square area, like a lot of Courthouse Squares in Indiana, gets pretty full, especially as the workday goes on. How do you get around that? Are there plans for parking garages, things like that?
Great question, caller, and this is something if you pick up a newspaper from like the 1920s or 30s, someone showed me once that they were talking about parking problems back then, and you're right. As we grow, we've got to stay cognizant about that. Obviously, we added a lot of additional parking, close to 100 additional spaces in totality behind Nickel Plate Flats when we took down two structures that were unsafe and expanded that parking lot there for the residents who are going to be living downtown. But to answer your question directly, I think the City Council, the Redevelopment Commission, my office is going to have to look at building a parking structure in the years to come if we continue to see this success. The last frontier of the downtown is North Main Street across the railroad tracks and the northwest quadrant of our downtown square where we had the terrible fire here back in January. So I think we need to look at that area, put a parking structure that's in a convenient location, maybe a four-deck parking structure 50 spaces a deck, add 200 spaces. I think that's going to be absolutely crucial for us.
So let me ask about that, because one of the questions I wanted to ask you today was what's going to become of those two buildings that look like they're about to get torn down following that fire in January? That's going to give you some space in a pretty prominent location. Are you looking at that as a parking structure space?
Well, I can tell you the space of Veterans Park, we are not looking at doing anything with that. I know that's very important to this community, and a very robust community conversation needs to happen in regards to that corner. But to answer your question specifically, the footprint of where those buildings burnt down to the alley there, yes. I think that would be a good space that we could look at potentially for development like a parking structure, maybe looking at putting some commercial development on the bottom or retail development on the bottom to maybe add another restaurant or add another men's clothing store, which we heard in the community conversation that was needed and wanted, but then do parking on the top and doing a facade around the entirety of the building that would fit in with our historic downtown. So, yes, I think that's an option. There are no concrete plans. Right now, we're just trying to get that area cleaned up. Demolition equipment's going to be moved in today and tomorrow, with demolition starting on Monday. So everyone can stay tuned to that. We'll be posting pictures. I'm proud of our team's effort of getting those buildings down so quickly. We had to work with three different building owners, different insurance companies, different attorneys. It was a bureaucratic nightmare to go through that process. But we are here, and demolition is going to start in the coming days.
Wanted to go back for a few minutes to a topic we spent some time on at the end of last year. It seemed like the county commissioners were going to examine a proposal to change animal control services from the County Humane Society being in charge of it to a private contractor, Jets Animal Services. It's worth noting the city at the end of last year decided that you would partner with Jets for a trap neuter release program. Would you like to see the county contract with them for animal control too?
All I can say is I think that every year there should be a competitive bidding process, and whatever is the most effective, and if we can find a program that saves our taxpayers money, I think that should be looked at. As a citizen, I'm going to be looking at that and what our commissioners do. Ultimately, it is their call, and ultimately I respect the decision that they make, but a competitive bid process is not a bad thing. Free market leads to better quality and at times cheaper prices that save taxpayers money. So I think there should be a competitive bidding process. We have been very happy with Jet Services. I will tell you that. They have done a great job. Very transparent. They actually have a Facebook page people can get on. If you just type into Facebook, Jet Services TNR, you can check out their page. They put statistics, facts of what's going on. And we're actually going to be having a public meeting on our trap, neuter, and release program April 18th at 6 p.m. at our public library. So Jim's going to be there, Kim Harris is going to be there, Karen Moskowitz, the president of Jet Services, and we're going to present to the community exactly where we're at with our statistics, answer any questions that they have, but the trap, neuter, and release program, it's been really solid, it's going well, and we're happy with the return that we're getting on that investment.
One of the things we've heard from some folks, you mentioned the free market idea of having competitive bidding for these services, is that perhaps at least one county commissioner has said that he's not interested in having anyone other than the Humane Society do animal control because he feels they're doing a good job. And so that would seem to forestall that sort of free market approach that you talked about, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and again, you know, I can speak as executive of the city. We always like to open things up. We don't want to be complacent. We have competitive bidding processes, and I would encourage the county to follow suit. I think it can end with a better process for the citizens, and if anything, it holds those who are currently under contract accountable. And if at the end of the process you decide to stay with your current vendor, there's nothing wrong with that, but at least the community is able to review those documents. You can have a public conversation about it in a meeting. They can get information. And it's just, it's a transparent way to hold everybody accountable. And so I would encourage that.
In your opinion, as this discussion's gone on for, 6 months or more now, do you think that we're closer to getting to the bottom of some of the issues, or do you think that, as some residents have told us time and again, that they're worried that things might get pushed off to the side or thought brought to the back burner as other things come to be more top of mind in the community and the problems never quite get solved. Where do you think you are in terms of having a functioning Humane Society, a functioning board that runs that Humane Society, and perhaps more to the point, doing trap, neuter, release and animal control efficiently and transparently in the entirety of the county?
Sure. So I'm going to kind of stay in my lane of traffic here. You know, when this whole situation came up, it was incredibly painful and divisive for this community. Absolute shame that it all had to go down this way. But I knew on the city side that we did need to take immediate action. And what we could control is what we did with trap, neuter, and release. And so we decided swiftly to go in a different direction. We've done that. We've been very, very happy with the services. The individuals have been accountable and transparent. I'm not going to speak to the Humane Society because I'm not at their meetings. I'm not on their board. I'm not a county commissioner. I think there's other folks that need to be accountable for that. But I can tell you, I'm continuing to keep my finger on the pulse of things. And this is also now bled into how we observe other not-for-profits, because the city, we provide funding to the Boys and Girls Club. We provide funding to the Paul Philippi Resource Center. We provided funding to the YMCA in the past, Healthy Communities Coalition of Clinton County. This has now changed the game for every contract that we have with NPOs. We want to make sure we have in writing a commitment of exactly what's going to be done with funds. It can't be a handshake. It can't even be a presentation at a council meeting. It's got to be in writing. And so now everyone is being held more accountable, and everyone who receives funding, I can speak from the city here, is under a watchful eye, and we have contracts to fall back on in regards to this. So
well, and it's worth perhaps reminding people that you did take something of a stake in this discussion, because the city decided to pull the $20,000 or so that it had previously given to the Humane Society every year because you were unhappy with the way things were going down.
Yes, and I'll reiterate that. We decided, from the information that I received and the outcry from the people that I served, we decided to go in a different direction, and we went with Jet Services, TNR, and what I can say is, as mayor, we are getting the services that we're paying for. They're being transparent. They're being accountable. We're having a public meeting on April the 18th to answer any questions that the public has and present information to them. And I think that's the way programs should be run. So speaking from that experience, we've been very happy, and there's really no regrets on the decision.
In our last 30 seconds or so, you've appointed Center Township Trustee Kevin Evans to a job where he oversees blighted properties in the city and getting those cleaned up. You and I have talked about this on the show for years now. How many of those are there? Can you give me just a sense of how big this issue is for him to tackle?
Well, in the city of Frankfort, we have roughly 40 to 45% of our housing stock, unfortunately, is rental housing stock, where old Victorian homes have been chopped up into 4, 5, 6 family unit dwellings. This happened before I was mayor, but it's happened nonetheless. We want to hold it. We want to hold absentee landlords accountable. Property maintenance concerns in neighborhoods, getting things cleaned up, it's a key issue, and now we've got a man to tackle it each and every single day. That's what Kevin's doing.
All right, Mr. Mayor, thanks as always for your time, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Stan, thanks so much. Bye-bye.
This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Remember, you can send questions for any of our four mayors at any time to our email address, ask@wbaa.org. Tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter, and look at the Ask the Mayor page on our website for archived programs. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Your membership and Encompass Credit Union supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.